जय शिवपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत गोस्वामी हराशील प्रभुपाद की जय नित्यलीला प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महराशील प्रभुपाद आनंद कवि वैष्णव नमाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगा माई की यमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेम नंदी और ग्लोरी टू द असेंबली बॉडी और ग्लोरी टू द असेंबली बॉडी और ग्लोरी टू द असेंबली बॉडी और ग्लोरी टू ग्लोरी श्री श्री गुरु और ग्लोरी टू श्री प्रभुपाद नमो श्रीपदाय कृष्ण प्रस्ताय भूतले श्रीमती भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसार सागरे मग्नं दीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राहगृहीताङ्गम् मामुद्धरभवार्णवान् श्रीमद्भागवदाख्योऽयम् प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि श्रीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थम् भव सागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयम् सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यम् दासोऽहम् तव केशव भवे भवे यदा भक्ति पादयोर्सव जायते तदा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्त्वं नो यद प्रभो नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वबाल प्रणाशं प्रणामो दुःखशमनं तं नमामि हरिं परम् जन्माद्यस्य यदोन्वयादितरतश्चातेष्वभिज्ञस्वरान् तेने ब्रह्म हृदय आदि कवये मुख्यन्ति यत् सूरय तेजो वारिमृतम् यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा नाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहकम् सत्यम् वरम् धीमहि प्रोज्जित कैदवोत्र वरमो नर्मत्सराणम् सदा वीर्यम् वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदम् तावत्त्रयोन्मूलनम् श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा वरैरीश्वरः सद्यो प्रत्यवरुध्यतेऽत्र कृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभिः तर्क्षणात् निगमकल्पतरोर्गणम् फलम् शुकमुखानुमुदद्रवसंयुतम् भागवतम् रसमालयम् रसिका भुवि भावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपायाम् व्याधिहेतवे भावत्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयम् नमः यम् प्रव्रजन्तम् अनुवेदमवेदकृत्यम् द्वैवायनो विरहगादरमजुहा पुत्रेति तन्मैदयत्तरवोऽभिनेतु तम् सर्वभूतहृदयम् मुनिम् आनदोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारवेगम् अध्यात्मदीपम् अतिदिदेर्षदाम् समुद्धम् संसारिणाम् करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यम् तम् व्याससूनुम् उपयामि गुरुम् मुनीनाम् नमस्कृत्य हरम् जैव नरोत्तमम् देवीम् सरस्वतीम् व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरये कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते കളവേണുക്കൊണിതാദ്രദാനനേന്തോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭരാമുരാരെ മധുരിന്ന കണികാവിഗാവി നമോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി ശ്രീമത് ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദം വ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ടശാം യാസം ഹരികതോ ഗീതം പുനാദീ ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം പദാലയേശമനിശം പ്രതിഭാവയാമി കോമളം പൂജയൻ വേണു ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ വാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാകമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതിരാധിയായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ മാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ So, yesterday, when Uddhava asked this question to Krishna, Tvattam paravartha dhiya, sukhrudai karma bhi prabho, uchavachan yatha dehan, ghnandi isrjanti cha. And Janma Makyahi Govinda Durvibhavyam Analmabhi 35 and 36 verses. Basically, Uddhava asked, Tvatta Paravarta Dhiya, one whose attention is not on Krishna, not on the soul, but elsewhere in the world. What is their destiny? And we understand that they have result of that is that they have to accept different bodies, higher and lower bodies. And it is very difficult to understand that process. Uddhava says even those who are well versed in the scriptures, they also cannot explain it properly because of the intricate nature of the transmigration of the soul. So when Uddhava said that, Krishna's answer was, Krishna immediately says to Uddhava, Uddhava, actually body is not the problem. The gross body is not the problem. Everything happens inside the mind. That is where the control is of all the, like the appearance of the body, disappearance of the body, and appearance of the body, disappearance of the body, and what kind of body one moves into. All these things are determined in the mind, not in the gross body. Gross body, Krishna hasn't given much importance to it. Rather, the mind is where everything is controlled, Krishna is saying to Uddhava. That's what he said, Manam Karmamayam, in the 37th verse. Mana Karmamayam, Nirnam Indriyai Panchavir Yudham, Loga Logam Prayatanya, Alma Tadanu Vartade. That loga logam, from one world, one planet to another planet, one species to another species, All this is going on because of the activities of the mind. And Atma simply goes along with it. Atma tadanu vartade. Atma simply goes along with it. And it appears as though Atma is traveling from one place to another, but actually Atma is not traveling. What it is mind is traveling, and along with the mind all other things are happening. Atma is present everywhere. And later on Krishna said that for the mind inside the mind is this connection with the old body and with the new body. Purva Deha Viyogam. That means breaking away from the old body happens inside the mind. And getting connected with the new body also happens within the mind. Dehandara Samyogam. That is what it is. Getting connected with the new body also happens inside the mind. Dhyayan Manore Vishayan. Drishtan Manushudanatha. Udyat Siddhat Karma Dandram. Smriti Sadhani Shamyadi. That mind which is absorbed in dhyanam. Dhyanam means meditation. It's continuously in meditation. Which one? The mind. Mind's meditation is such that the mind decides when the, depending on the strength of the meditation, it decides to move on to the next body, and it decides to leave the old body. All these things are happening inside the mind. Again, Krishna is stressing that point. To take the attention away from the gross body into the mind. Into the mind. Normally, in this world, most of us are concerned about the body, isn't it? Gross body. And it is centered around this gross body, all our decision making, all our activities is all based on this gross body. Krishna saying, from the spiritual point of view, Uddhava, this body has such a limited importance in comparison with the mind. In comparison with the mind, body has a very limited importance, because mind is the one that is projecting the body. It's from the mind the body has come. And when the mind decides, you lose the body, you leave the body. When the mind decides, you accept another body. When the mind decides when what kind of new body has to come. So is the mind more important than the body? This is an important question, isn't it? Krishna's argument is, Krishna doesn't say anything in an illogical way. Everything is based on logic and reasoning. When all decisions are made inside the mind about a new body, leaving the body, what kind of body, all sorts of decisions are made inside the mind. So is the mind more important than the body? Whereas what do? We, the world today, or not today, all times, is always based on the body, it makes decisions. Mind only when it gives you too much trouble, you go and try to do something about it, isn't it? But by and large, identification is always with the body, not with the mind. More with the body our identification is. Therefore, what happens? Vishaya abhinivesena nalpanam yatsmaret punaha jandorvai kasyajide dor mrityo atyandavismriti. So Krishna says here, Vishaya abhinivesena alpanam nasmaret idiyat. So because of the attachment to the new body, because of the attachment to the new body, forgetting about the old body, that is the death of Jiva. Jiva's death is that. And jando vai kasya jiddheyo mrityu atyanda vismrati. Otherwise, not like the body, when the body die, that is not what Krishna considers as death. What Krishna considers as death is that the forgetfulness of the old body is death, and remembrance of a new body is birth. Remembrance of a new body is birth, and forgetfulness of the old body is death. All these things what Krishna has spoken in this chapter should remain in our thoughts all the time. That is how we will understand spiritual life. Otherwise, it is not something like we study from the university. Just for the examination's sake, we study something and then examination is over, everything is forgotten. Not like that. This is Krishna's logic, and Krishna is saying to us from a subtle level where decisions are made, who makes the decision and how the decisions are made. All these things Krishna is explaining to us. And if we accept Krishna's authority, if we understand that what Krishna is saying, then we will escape from this mess. Janmato almadaya apumsam sarvabhavena bhurida vishayasvikrutim praho yatha svapnam manoharadaham. Hey bhurida, great soul, calling Uddhava, svapna manoharadaham. Svapna manoharadascha yatha tatha pumsaha almadaya sarvabhavena vishayasvikrutim janmacha praho. So, this you, Krishna is saying that just like you have a dream, svapna manoratham. Svapnam is a dream. Manoratham means mental chariot. Just like we sometimes sit in the vacant state and we think about our various plans, about our various ideas, and our mind is taking us in a chariot to somewhere else. That is manoratham. So, svapna manoratham, how that works inside. Similarly, when in our mind some attachment is developed to some form of the body, some form of a body, and some understanding, and it comes at a particular time in life, that when closer to death, a new form of body is developed inside the mind. And when that attachment to this new form, which has been just developed inside, then that one stage, you cannot come out of it, from that new form, what you have created inside your mind, according to your vasanas. You would have formed another body inside. That is what Krishna is saying. That when you get attached to that new form which you have created inside the mind, and when you cannot come back from that, back to your old form, old body, that is called death. That is called death. Not otherwise that the body is born. That is too late. Body is born, that is, body is manifested later. But prior to this manifestation of this body, it has already been created inside for quite some time inside the subtle body where the mind is created, mind got attached to it, and then the gross form came out later. He gives the example for that. Krishna is giving examples. Svapnam manoratham chetam praktanam nasmaratyasau tatram puram valmanam apurvam chanubhashyati. Itham asau praktanam svapnam manoratham cha deham nasmaradi. In this way, one who is in svapnam, in dream state, and jiva who is always in this dream state and also in the mental chariot, that jiva, when it gets attached to this new body, he has already got the new body in the mind. And then when he doesn't remember about his previous body. Tatra purvam api atmanam apurvam ivanu pashyati. And what happens is that this person who is in the dream state, he, although Atma is present all the time, he thinks that he was born. He gets this idea that he has taken birth. Just like when one we are in, once we are in the dream state also, or in the mental chariot, or while imagination going on inside the mind, various things, how we are unconscious of the fact that Atma is still there. We have no connection with the Atma. We go along with the mind, isn't it? Whatever mind is creating, along with that we are traveling. We are traveling the mind. Krishna is saying here that Atma is always there, and that is what you are. But you have no, you feeling no connection with the Atma. Instead, you are feeling connection with the whatever you have thought about inside your mind, and you are going along with that. You are going along with that. That is what Krishna is saying here. That what it means is that you have lost the self. You have lost yourself. And that which means that you are not conscious of your identity as Atma. Your identity as Atma. Instead, what has happened? You have, according to your plans inside your mind, or according to your dream, whatever that is going on, along with that you are going. You are going along with that, forgetting about your identity as the self, as the soul. And Krishna concludes that, Indriyayana srishteyadam traividhyam bhadivastuni bihirandarbhida hedur jano asajjanakradhyada. Indriyayana srishtya idam traividhyam vastuni bhadi. Because of the, all senses are dependent on the mind. All senses are dependent on the mind. And the mind has got all these thing called attachment. Thing called attachment. And in the Atma, because of this mind's attachment, and because all the senses are present inside the, all the senses are dependent on the mind, that you are feeling that because of that, higher, lower, and good and bad, all these things are happening in us. Atma doesn't have any good and bad. Atma doesn't have any right and wrong. Atma doesn't have any kind of differences, isn't it? Samattvam yogamuchyate. Samattvam is Atma's nature. Equally disposed to everything. That is Atma. Equally disposed to everything is Atma. But then in us we see this higher and lower, good and bad, right and wrong, all these things. Where does that come from? Krishna is saying there that because of the senses depending on the mind, and mind has attachment in the world towards sense objects and raga dvesham and everything, because of that it appears as though that person has all these kind of experiences like higher and lower and good and bad and right and wrong and all sorts of things. Svapne janaha asajjana krita yatha tada bahir antarbhida hetu bhavati. So in the dream state, how jiva, the living entity, creates so many things what really doesn't exist, but it creates there. Similarly, due to this false attachment of the mind, all these variations in our behavior comes in the world. Externally and internally, it causes variations in us. Just like the jiva in its dream state, it creates so many things which doesn't really exist there. It's only in the dream. Similarly, due to this false attachment of the mind to various sense objects, and it causes all sorts of variations in our dealings with the world. Otherwise, Krishna is saying here the three varieties which Krishna has explained before, all the adhyalpika bhedam. Krishna says that is the differences what you experience. Janau asajjana kridhyadha means janau asajjana kridhyada, means although the father of a children are not very good, they misbehave, they act wrongly, but their father is equal to all, equal to all. Because similarly, father's attachment to the children. So father thinks all children are equal, whether good or bad, he treats them in the equally. He treats both of them equally, the good child and the bad child, he treats them equally. Similarly, similarly Krishna says that in the same way, due to our attachment, like the father had attachment, so he treats them equally, good child and the bad child. He doesn't discriminate there. He thinks that they are both my children. Similarly, we, due to attachment only, we have developed this, due to attachment, what has happened in all of us is, we have friends and enemies. Friends and enemies. Or we go along with the friends and we stay away from the enemies. We stay away from the enemies. So, after talking about birth and death, which Krishna spoke about in the last few verses, Krishna is talking about little bit more on a subtle level. Little bit more on a subtle level to understand birth and death. The reason being that if this argument which Krishna is going to put forward now, if that is understood, it may help to develop some detachment from the body. Detachment from the body. That means in order to create some vairagyam in us, Krishna is bringing forward another argument, which is quite a powerful argument, what Krishna is going to say now. Nityada ahanga bhudani bhavandina bhavandicha kalena lakshya vegena sushmatval tanna drishyate. Krishna says, Bhudani anga, Bhudani alekshya vegena kalena nityada bhavandi na bhavandi cha. The body, Krishna is saying, is changing so fast. Is changing so fast. Changes so fast that you cannot notice it. That's what Krishna is saying. Bhudani bhavandina bhavandija kalena alakshya vegena sushmatval tanna drishyade. It is a very interesting thing that when the body is changing, we are not even conscious of that, isn't it? If you know that you were a young boy or a girl and then grew up a teenager, then you become a young man or woman, and then you become middle-aged man or woman, you become an old man, old woman. All these changes is unknown to us. It is changing, isn't it? But change is not known to us. Okay, if you look at the mirror, you will see a change. But that is after the change, you are seeing that. But when the change is happening, it's not experienced in us. It went on so fast, that from childhood or from a baby to childhood, boyhood, youthhood, old age, like that, changes happened over a number of years. And it has been changing so fast, which we have not even noticed, it has been changing. It has been changing. That's what Krishna is saying here, that the pace in which the body is changing, and it is happening due to time. So the change of body and the time is related. Nitada hanga bhudani bhavandina bhavandicha kalena alakshya vegena sushmatval tanna drishyate. Sushmatval tanna drishyate. Because that change is so subtle, it happens. That change is happening in such a subtle level. Sushmatval. Sushmatval. So what happened? Tanna drishyate. It is not noticed by the ignorant person. Sushmatval tanna drishyate. Krishna is saying, it is never noticed by the ignorant person. That you can see in us. When we were children, we had some way mind was occupied with some playing or enjoying life. When you became a young man, attention changed from the all the time thinking that there is a long life left, isn't it? And then in the youth, again wanted to enjoy, live a comfortable life, making arrangements for security in this world. And in this way, all the youth has gone. Again, body has changed. We didn't know about it. We didn't even know that body was changing. We didn't even know that we are going to die at that moment. And even at the old age, it's the same problem. That I won't die, it will be alright. That some people are dying, what can we do about it? But even if death comes, doesn't look as though death is going to come. We feel like that, isn't it? Even when you get old, when you get sick also, still thinking, don't think there's any chance of dying. Some false hope inside, that's what Krishna is saying here, that kalena alakshyavegena sushmatval tanna drishyate. Because of it, such a subtle nature, it is happening, this change inside, alakshyavegena, and it is happening so fast, it is never noticed by the living entity. Living entity never notices that. So then Krishna is saying another thing there, that if this birth and death is happening so fast it is happening, then how do you know that it exists? If it is so fast, how do we know that it exists? If Krishna says here, yadharchisham srodasam cha bhalanam va vanaspadehe tadaiva sarvabhudanam vayo avastadaya kridaha yadharchisham srodasam cha bhalanam va vanaspadehe tadaiva sarvabhudanam vayo avastadaya kridaha archisham srodasam vanaspade bhalanam va yatha tatha sarvabhudanam vayo avastadayah kalena kritah. Krishna is saying, you don't have to go very far to understand this, he says. A river is flowing. You stand near the river bank, you stand in the river bank and look at the river. You say the river is flowing. The water, what you have seen at a particular moment, that's gone. Another water, fresh water has come, isn't it? And continuously what is happening? You are calling it as a river and you take it that it exists always. But actually in reality, what you called as river earlier, the water which you were referring to as river, that water is not there anymore. That's gone. And every second, Krishna is saying, every moment the water is changing, going. Water is continuously flowing to the ocean. And this flow of water, you are not taking into consideration, that you are not understanding that river properly. What's actually happening is, water has gone, fresh water has come, but instead of seeing that the river has changed, you still take it that the river exists as it is. The river exists, as though you don't take into account the changes in the water that has flown through the river. Similarly, when there is a lamp burning, the fire that has burned, that's gone, fresh fire is always coming, like the water. Fire also is the same thing. Fresh fire is coming and burning and disappearing, burning, disappearing continuously. But we don't call it like that. What we say, the fire is there. But the fire that you have seen in one particular moment, it has already gone. And a fresh fire has come, Agni. So, like the fire, like the river, and similarly, all of them, Krishna is saying, even the trees and their fruits, all of them, that you can imagine that they are also changing continuously. Trees are also changing continuously. Trees are giving us the fruits, and once they have done their purpose, they also slowly start disappearing from this world. Similarly, Krishna is saying here, you should look at that, and same way you should look at your body. In the same way, you should look at your own body. In other words, that all of them are changing. The river is flowing, the fire is changing, the trees and the plants, all of them are changing and falling away. And similarly, the body also changes and it drops away. So from this, you can understand, Krishna says, that even this material body also, every moment it is temporary. Every moment ఇట్ ఈస్ టెంపరీ. దాట్ ఈస్ కృష్ణస్ పాయింట్. యథార్చిషాం శ్రోతసాం చ ఫలానాం వా వనస్పతే తథైవ సర్వభూతానాం వయో అవస్థాదయః కృతాః. సో దెన్ వై కృష్ణ సేస్ దట్ ఇఫ్ దిస్ ఈస్ లైక్ దట్ ప్రత్యభిజ్ఞ ఇన్సైడ్, ప్రత్యభిజ్ఞ వాట్ వీ స్పోక్ అబౌట్ యెస్టర్డే, దట్ ప్రత్యభిజ్ఞ. When Pratyabhijna happens, how does that happen? How does that Pratyabhijna comes? If you remember, we spoke about Pratyabhijna yesterday. Pratyabhijna means that waking up inside. How does waking up inside? Krishna is saying here, Soyam Deeporchisham Yadvad Srodasam Tadidam Jalam Soyam Pamani Dindranam Mrusha Ghir Dhir Mrusha Ayusham. He says, Soyam Deeporchisham Yadvad Srodasam Tadidam Jalam Soyam Pumanvi Nranam Mrusha Girdhir Mrusha Ayusham. Archisham Soyam Deepaha Iti Srodasam Tadidam Jalam Iti Cha Pratyabhijna Yatha Tatha Soyam Puman Iti Mrusha Ayusham Nranam Mrushadhi Mrushadhi Mrushagischa Bhavadi. Just like the flame, when the fire is burning, is continuously changing, but we call it as a lamp that's burning. We call it as a lamp that is still burning, but the flame is continuously changing. The water is flowing, but we still call that as a river. Water is changing continuously, but we still call it as a river. And due to pratyabhijna, due to Pratyabhijna, that Pratyabhijna Krishna mentions before. Similarly, the variations in the different ignorant persons, ignorant people, there is variations in them. There is variations in them. And the person, personality inside is changing. Personality is changing in everyone, isn't it? Like the water has changed in the river, the water is changing in the river, and similarly the fire is changing in the lamp. We don't notice that. We think the river is there. That's how we see it, isn't it? Similarly, when you look at the lamp burning, you say the fire is there. There's a fire, there's a lamp, we say. But the lamp is, in reality, if you look at the lamp, the fire is already burning and changing, continuously changing, isn't it? Similarly, Krishna is saying, the jiva, personality inside, is continuously changing. Is continuously changing in us. Our ahankaram is changing. Ego is changing, in other words. Krishna is saying here, but still, we are calling that person and thinking that he is the same person. Is the same person. That is why what Krishna mentions here, that this pratyabhijna means that this awareness has been woken up inside about my identity. So suppose I meet with a person, I am changing, that person is also changing. Change is continuous in me and in him. His personality is changing, my personality is also changing. Krishna is saying here that similarly, there is differences in everyone, but still you are feeling that you are talking to the same person. And he is thinking, I am the same person whom he knew before. But practically, Krishna is saying, both are changing. The person you are talking to is changing, and you yourself are changing. Like the way river is changing, the water goes through, water has gone, new water has come from the mountains, isn't it? So, where is the river there? It's only nothing but a continuously changing water, you call it as river. Continuously changing fire, you call it as a lamp. Similarly, continuously changing personality, you call him as a person. Is it not? See the logic? It's an important logic Krishna is saying to us. That our ajnanam means avidya in us, is like this, that all these things is not working in us. It's not, we are not taking seriously any of these things, what Krishna is saying. Krishna is trying to make us aware that a lot of our understanding is all false. All in Maya, in illusion it is happening. That's why whenever Krishna says something, you notice one thing, he wants to make us aware that there is so much ajnanam inside us, avidya inside us. So, then Krishna says, so, soyam deepam archisham yadvat srodasam tadidam jalam. So, I am pumanidhi nranam, mrisha gheer dheer, mrisha ayusham. So, that is how we should see the body of a person. A constantly changing process like a river, like a flame. It is also changing. That person is also not permanent. He is also constantly going through a change. His personality is changing, body is changing, everything is changing. And we are also changing. Our personality is also changing. None of them is permanent. That's the point Krishna is making. Ma sosya karma bijayinam. Jayade sopyayam puvan. Mriyade va amaro brandhya. Yadhagner darisam yudaham. Ma sosya karma bijayina jayate sopyayam puman mriyadeva amaro brandhya yadhagnar dharu samyudaha sobi ayam puman sosya karma bijayina ma jayate amara mriyadeva. Ignorant person also, because the ignorant person, Krishna is saying here, because of his karma vasana, because of his vasana that he has accumulated from karma, due to that, in reality, he does not take birth. What has happened is that ignorant person, that Krishna specifies that, ignorant person, because of his karma vasana, that karma vasana, because of that, actually, he doesn't take birth because he is eternal, isn't it? Satya is his nature. He is not conscious of that. And because he is eternal, he doesn't die. He doesn't die. So, because his attention is all on the body, and because he is ignorant, Krishna is saying, that he feels that he is taking birth, he is dying. Because he is ignorant, the person is ignorant, and because he has got karma vasana inside, he feels that he is taking birth and he is dying. He does not know that he doesn't take birth, he doesn't die. That means if we have become identification with the body, immediately, just like you are mistaken about the river, mistaken about the flame, in a similar way, we are mistaken about ourselves also. Exactly in the same way. That our identity is no death. In us, there is no death. Shukha Brahmarshi said that to Parikshit, isn't it? There is no such thing called death. Tumtu Marishyedi, Pashubuddhi, Mamchahi, isn't it? And what did he say? Deham, Prahagavat, Buddha. The body is never born, he said. I don't know, if you have to think about it a little bit more, because this is an important thing, what Krishna is saying here. That is why two examples, Krishna is trying to get it to us, that understanding, right understanding. That when the river is flowing, water is continuously flowing, you are standing near the river bank and you say, this is Ganga river. Which is Ganga river there? Or this is Yamuna river. That Ganga river which you are pointing at, that Ganga river is joined the sea already. It's gone. New water is coming from the Himalayas. New fresh water is coming, ice is melting and it's coming. And then somebody else coming, see, look at Ganga. You say like this. But that asking, when you ask somebody to look at Ganga and he is looking at it, And that water, what you have shown there to someone as Ganga, that water is gone. That Ganga is gone, but another Ganga has come. Who is Ganga now? Similarly, fire is burning, a lamp is burning. Lamp is burning. And it continuously, the fire is coming and burning and going away. It's going, flame is going, isn't it? But still we say, oh, the lamp is burning. Just like the same. Krishna is saying it's the same misunderstanding about this body also. He says that that in reality, you are not seeing yourself properly. You are not conscious of that who you are. You are not, you don't know who you are, and you are looking at your body and looking at others' body because of ajnanam. You are saying, oh, poor man, he is dying. Or some say, oh, he has born now. All these things you are saying like this. Krishna is saying that. But because you are not seeing that the vastu inside. You are not seeing that atma inside. You are only seeing his body. You are only seeing his changes in the body. And on basis of that, you are saying that, oh, he is dead. Because you are only seeing the body. He cannot die. That is the point Krishna is making. Yeah. So as much as Krishna is saying exactly the same thing, Shukha Brahmarshi is saying to Parikshit also. Then you don't die. Where is the question? Because you are not seeing it properly, that is the problem. You are seeing in the wrong way, you are seeing the body, and you are identifying with the body and you are dying. You feel as though actually there is no such thing called death. And there is no such thing called birth either. That is why Krishna is saying here, Sobhi Ayam Puman Sosya Karma Vijena Mam Jayate Amaraha Mriyadeva. He says, Ma Sosya Karma Vijena Jayate Sopyayam Puman Mriyadeva Amaro Bhrandya Yadhagnir Dharusam Yudaham. And what is the reason? Brahmdi. Krishna says the word Brahmdi. Brahmdi means what? The illusion in us, Maya. In other words, kind of Maya that is attacked us. He says here, Saha Daru Samyudaha Agnihi Yatha Tada Brandhya Pratiyade. That Atma, the soul, along with its, just like the fire, experience fire, the wood is burning, isn't it? What's actually happening? The fire is coming and going through the wood. Fire is separate. It's coming and going through the wood. And in that process, we say the wood is burning. The wood is burning. And due to association with the wood, the fire came into contact with the wood, isn't it? And what do we think? The wood is burning. Originally we say, oh, the wood was good, good wood it was, firewood. When the fire has come through that and gone away, we say the wood got burned. Wood is burned. Similarly, Atma is there, like the fire. Atma is there. It came through this body and going. But we look at the body and say, he is dead. And he is born. We are only seeing the wood. We are not seeing the fire that goes through the wood. That's what Krishna is saying here. Masasya karma bijena. Jayate asopeyam puman mriyadeva amaro brahmya yada agnir darisam yudaha. So because of the samyoga viyogam, that means due to contact and due to separation with the wood, fire appears as though it is born. It appears as though the fire is born. It appears as though the fire is dead. Fire is not born. Fire is not dead either. Fire has just passed through. According to the upadis, it is your say. Wood is the upadi. Similarly, body is a upadi. Upadi. Don't look at the upadi. That is what Krishna is saying. Don't never look at the upadi. Because if you look at the, when you look at the upadi, brandi comes. Brandi means that illusion comes. And therefore, because you are looking at the upadi, brandi comes, and then you feel as though something is taking birth and something is dying. It takes a long, long time to to get all this into our head, in our consciousness, in other words. It's not good enough to hear it once or hear it twice. This is where Nididhyasanam comes. Nididhyasanam comes means, if you take these words of Krishna seriously, and if you meditate on them all the time, and get yourself fixed on that, then death will not affect us. This is why Krishna is saying all these things to Uddhava. That death is a misunderstanding. That is what Krishna is saying here. What Parikshit had to go through was the same thing, isn't it? Parikshit came and sat down and saying that in 7 days' time I have to die. And after Sukadev Goswami left, what did Parikshit say? He says, there's no such thing called death. The man who came saying that in 7 days' time I'm going to die, after 7 days he is saying there is no such thing called death. That is the difference. That's the difference. What happened in 7 days' time? In 7 days' time, because of the hearing Bhagavatam from Shukabrahmarshi got this point across to his consciousness. It entered into his realization, in other words. It registered very strongly inside. And therefore, that misunderstanding gone from inside. And after, there is no such thing called death. And these verses are important because we haven't got much time in life, isn't it? So, these are the things that should go through our thoughts. These things should remain in our thoughts all the time. Again and again, we have to keep reflecting on them. That is preparation for death. That is called preparation for death. Not to think that I have so many projects to execute here or I have so many. Those things will come and go. But what Krishna is saying is talking to us from the very bottom of the subtle side of our life. He's making us conscious that look, you are in trouble because you are in a very delicate situation that you don't know, even your understanding is so wrong. That's what Krishna is saying to us. You are thinking about this body, but the body is not what, you have nothing to do with that. You are completely different from the body. And he says in the next verse, Nishekam garbha janmani balyam kaumara yavanam vayo madhyam jara mrityu ityavastha stanor navaha. Nishekam garbha janmani balyam kaumara yavanam vayo madhyam jara mrityu ityavastha stanor navaha. Krishna says there is 9 different stages in life. Nishekadayaha mrityu paryantaha tanoha eva nava avastaha bhavandi. Again, Krishna says, you enter into garbha pravesham. That means you enter into the womb of a mother. And in the womb, you have lived for some time, 10 months or 8 months or whatever it is. You are staying there for 10 months and you are growing up there also, in the womb of a mother. And then you come out of the womb, janmam. And then you have a childhood. And then you have a boyhood. And then you have a youth, and then you have an age, 50 to 60 like that, and then old age and death. All these things is in relationship with the body. It has nothing to do with the Atma. You are still not doing anything. All what has happened is that you have entered into a womb of a mother. You lived there some time, 9 or 10 months, whatever that is. And Atma was still there. Atma enters into that body, isn't it? That is what is called birth. In the birth, inside the womb. Just like the scientists and others say that 5th week or 7th week, pregnancy becomes then, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, if you remember, in the 3rd canto, Kabilam says, that when the combination of the semen and the blood joins together and from there the birth happens, it is at that time the Atma enters into that. Jiva's entry into the particular form is at that time when it happens. If you read the third canto, you will see what is birth there. So, when you entered into the womb, so you enter into the womb of a mother, and then you live in that womb for some time. At that time also the body is changing there. You are still there, you are not touched by anything. Body is changing. Then you came out and a body came out. And then the body kept changing, you are not changing. Body is still changing. Balyam, Kaumaram, Yavanam, Vardhakyam, in that way, old age. And when death happens, what happens? Again, this body disappears, but you don't die. So, Krishna is saying here that these nine states, which means entering into the womb, and the development that is happening inside the womb, the birth, the childhood, the boyhood, youthhood, and then the age between say 50 or 60, Vayomadhyam means, that is the age. Vayomadhyam is that about 50 to 60 years old, and then old age, and then death. All these nine stages is for the body, not for the soul. So, after saying that, Krishna is saying one important point, that because of, somehow this contact has come with the body, somehow it has happened. And it is only because of that birth and death exist. Only because you came into contact with the body. If you had no body, you would have had no birth. If you had no... And if you had no body, he says, you would have had no death either. So, in other words, Krishna's point is, because of the body, you have got birth and death. Nobody likes birth and death, isn't it? Birth and death we don't want. But Krishna is saying the reason for that, you have picked up a body in your life, existence. You are continuously going on and you keep on picking up new bodies. And therefore you got birth and you got death. Etha manorathamayir hanyam suchyavachastanuhu gunasangalubadate kochil kachil jahadija. Etha manorathamayir hanyasuchyavachastanu gunasangalubadate kochil kachil jahadija. Anyasya manorathamayi edaha uchavajaha tanuhu ayam gunasangalubadate kachil kochil jahadija. So, deham or shariram is all imagination. Krishna is saying kalpanamayam. It is kalpanamayam. It is in imagination. And similarly, higher birth, lower birth, or all these different existence in higher body, lower body, all these kind of superior body, inferior body, all these things, Krishna says, due to adhyasam, due to your strong identification, which is called adhyasam. Due to that, all these things happen. And only very few rare souls, Krishna says, by Krishna's grace, sometime they lose that. Which one? This adhyasam. They lose it. By Krishna's grace. Sometimes they free themselves from that. Kaschid, where Krishna says, Kaschil, he uses the word Kaschil. Kaschil means it's a very rare thing that happens. Very rare things, it happens. That means to understand that liberation is a very rare thing. It's a very rare thing. And Gunasangat Ubadate Kaschil Kaschil Kochil Kaschil Jahadicham. And what happens is this Drishyam Drikka. Drikka Drishyam. Here, Drishya Dharma it is. Drishya Dharma means body's changes. Body is Drishyam, isn't it? It's not Drikka. Drikka is the Alma self. Now, Drishya Dharma, changes that is happening in the body. It is called Drishya Dharma. Drishya Dharma means body's Dharma. Drishya Dharmam never affects the Drashtava. Drikka. The Dharmam of the Drishyam does not have any effect on the Drikka. Drikka, another word is Drashtava. Drashtava means one who is seeing. This is the understanding has to happen inside. And that happens through Krishna's grace. Krishna's kripa or Krishna's grace, when it comes to a person, what happens? He sees that all changes are happening in the body, not in me. At the moment, we are talking about it and we are intellectually trying to accept it, isn't it? Intellectually. But that is not good enough. It has to happen in our consciousness, it has to come. It has to happen. That consciousness has to tell us that in consciousness, we have to experience that there is no change in me happening. Change is happening in the body. That happens due to Krishna's grace. That is what Krishna is saying there. Eta manorathamai anyasyocha vajastanuhu gunasangad ubadate kochil kaschil jahadija. Kaschil jahadija. Sometimes, rarely, Krishna says, rarely, but sometimes. Sometimes, but rarely, it happens in some people. They get liberated. Rarely, but sometimes, it happens in some people. And how does their liberation happen? Due to Krishna's grace, they started experiencing that they are not this body, they are the self, Atma inside. And all that means all those things what has happened in the body, Drishya Dharma, that is called Drishya Dharma. Drishya Dharma means that I'm taking birth, I'm dying, and I'm getting old, I'm getting sick. These are all Drishya Dharma it is. Drishya Dharma means Dharmam of the body. Dharma means the Drishya, body is the Drishya. And Atma is the Drika or Drashtava. Drika or Drashtava, it's the same thing. Atma is the Drika or Drashtava, body is the Drishyam. So, activities of the Drishyam, changes happening in the Drishyam is not happening in me. This realization comes in my consciousness due to Krishna's grace. Kripa, for some people, that's what Krishna is saying. Only very, very few. Very, very few. We have understood liberation as though we leave the body and go into somewhere else, isn't it? Somewhere else. And another good time there, after the good time here. This is how we have, in our head, we have all these fancy ideas we have developed. Krishna is saying, it's not like that. You see, Krishna's point is very logical, isn't it? When you look at it, then our problem is this identification with the body. And if our identification has not left with this body, what chance is there that we'll go to another planet and enjoy there, when you are not even lost your identity with this body, what you have got here? if you analyze this a little deeper level, you can understand Krishna's logic. It's not so difficult to get that. At least in our intelligence, I'm saying, on an intellectual level, you can understand that. That what Krishna is saying, that this identification with the body, as Krishna says, is the biggest problem. Biggest problem. And that identification won't go till some grace, kripa, comes from Krishna in some form. And rarely it happens, he says here. And gunasangadva kochil kaschil jahadija. But when that happens, Krishna says, drishya dharmam will not have any effect on the drashtava or drika. Drik will not be affected by anything what is happening in the drishyam. Anything that is happening in the body will not do anything with the atma inside. And that you will realize it by Krishna's grace and you will get liberated. And so then that is the few things Krishna has spoken in this chapter, which is worthwhile going through again and again when you get time. So yesterday we mentioned that in the 12th chapter, when Parikshit Maharaj left his body, he mentioned there that Subramanyashi told him, Tomturajan Marisheri, isn't it? Tomturajan Marisheri. Marisheri means that this I will die, that fear. Tomturajan Marisheri. And Pashubuddhi Imam Jahi. Pashubuddhi Imam Jahi. Give up that understanding, sir. Because Tvam Dehavad Praga Bodaha Adhyaha Jato Na Asi Tasma Dehavad Na Nangshasi. Dehavatvam Na Nangshasi. Dehavatvam Na Nangshasi. You are not like the body which was born now. Like the body which was born now, you didn't get created in that way. See, body, Parishit also says that it was created at one day. One day it was created. Body was created. So that is called Jataha. He says, Na Jataha. It was not born. Which one? Alma. You, he is saying to Parishit, Na Jataha. You didn't take birth like the way body has taken birth. Pragabhudodhya dehavatvam tan anshasi. Similarly, like the way body is going to die, you are not going to die either. Like the way the body is born, you are not going to take birth. You are not born like that. You are never born. Na jayate, na mriyate. Krishna says, isn't it? The Bhagavad Gita. Same thing. He's saying. Same thing. Subramanyashi is saying to Parishit also. You are not born like the way body is born. And you are not going to die like the way body is going to die. He says here. So, here, Pashubuddhim Arishedi, Pashubuddhim Imam Jahi. So, where is this understanding? That I am taking birth, I am dying, all these things. It is somewhere in our imagination, isn't it? Somewhere it is there. That is why we are feeling very strongly about it. We are saying that, oh, I was born on... What's your date of birth? People ask, what's your date of birth? And everybody remembers their date of birth. Isn't it? Because you need it everywhere. Passport, you have to put it in. You have to put it in your bus pass. You have to apply for anything. Everywhere this date of birth keeps coming back in somewhere. So when it has become a usual habit throughout life, it becomes your part and parcel of you, isn't it? Perhaps everybody more or less remembers that. Very rarely you will see people who don't remember the date of birth. You can say hardly anyone. Okay, for official purposes, there may be some changes in the date of birth. You will know your real date of birth. Everybody remembers. So, Krishna is saying here that if this Sankalpa Mandalam, that means this imaginary world, what we are living now, with your so-called date of birth and death birth certificate and all, this is a birthday party and all that. This is all your Sankalpa Mandalam, your imaginary world you have created, in your illusion, you have created in all that. If you come out of that, from that world, and you come to a reality, what the world Krishna has created for us, you come to this world, Krishna is saying here, then this Brahman, this illusion in you, that birth and death will completely leave you. Will leave you then. It won't leave you otherwise. If you live in your imaginary world all the time if you live in your imaginary world. Nowadays temple is cremating the imaginary world for us. Temple is supposed to get us out of this imaginary world. Temple says, no, we should have as many birthday parties as possible. So what do you do then? The very people who are supposed to get us out of all this illusion, they create this illusion in us. So Krishna's point is that if you have come out of that imaginary world, Sankalpa Mandalam it is called. Sankalpa Mandalam. From Sankalpa Mandalam, if you have come out, and if you have come to this mandalam of knowledge, of Krishna's mandalam of knowledge. And if it has become, if you have come to this world, then jananam maranam, that means birth and death, that illusion also will leave you. It will leave you at that time. So, then you will ask this question, who are you talking about has born? Who has born? And where is he born? That's another question. Where is he born? Moment you identify with the body, you have a place of birth. Is it not? If you have no body, what will you say? Will you say, I was born in India, America, Africa, Europe, wherever it is? How can you say? Because of the body, you have this place of birth, isn't it? And who was born? Because you are identifying with the body, you are given a name to that body. Whatever name it is, Peter or Paul, whatever name you are given because of the body. An interesting thing is, nobody remembers about their own birth. But you are so busy in identifying with this name and the body and the date of birth and everything. All ajnanam, Krishna is calling it. And after taking so-called birth, after 4 or 5 years, whatever has happened, only you can remember now, isn't it? First 3-4 years, no memory at all. Can't remember anything. First few years. After that, 5 years or 6 years, little things you remember. And then you remember a few things, what happened in the recent times. Even what happened in your youth, you can't remember everything. So many things have happened in the youth also. So even you don't remember that first few years, then which one are you calling as birth? Which one are you calling as the birth? So, similarly, which one are you saying that you are changing? You are changing. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, if you remember, Krishna has mentioned that practically there is not much difference between death and changing. Changes that's happening and the death is not much of a difference. Because changing itself is a death. Changing itself is a death. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna puts it like this. Dehinosmin yatha dehe kaumaram yavanam jaraha tatha dehandara prapti dhiras tatrana mukhyati. Did you see there? That dehandara prapti is a change. Dehandara prapti is a change. And that is compared to a death. In other words, as far as Krishna is concerned, any change is a death. If you change, it's a death. Dehandara, that is what that verse important. You have to understand that verse in this way, that change is a death. Change is a death. Dehandara prapti is a change. That means it's a death. So, if a change is a death, Krishna is saying, kaumaram, yavanam, jara. They are also death. From kaumaram, you die. And then you are born again as in the yavanam. Yavanam finished, you died. And then you came as old man. So, dehi nosmin, but yatha dehe, in deham, that dehi, is not going through any of these things. But deham is taking birth, dying. Deham again take birth as a young child and then he died. Deham again took birth as a young man and then he died. Deham again took birth as an old man and then he died. Because it's all changes as happening in the deham. And therefore it's the birth and the death happens in the deham. Similarly, dehandara prapti is what we call as death now. Krishna's pointing out to us that any change that happens in the body is a birth and a death happens. Birth and a death happens. You can see when people who are of your own age, when they have grown up, how their body has changed as much as your body has changed, isn't it? Continuously you observe them, you will see that the body is also changing. Constantly it is changing. So Krishna cleared that point in that verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Dehinosmin yatha dehe kaumaram yavanam jara tatha dehandara praptir dhirastatrana muhyati. That verse is a very deeper verse, because what we have to understand from that verse is any change that happens is a death or a birth. Which death means it's followed by another birth, isn't it? So any change that is happening is a death. Change in Sanskrit they call it as parinama. 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 Parinamam is a death as far as Krishna is concerned. Parinamam is a death. If a change is happening, that's a death. So that is why Krishna is saying here in the 39th verse or 40th verse in your book probably, what he mentioned there is Janma Twalmadaya Pumsa Sarvabhavena Buridaha Vishaya Svigridim Prahu Yadha Swapnam Mano Radhaha. Janmam tu alpadaya pumsa sarvabhavena buridaham vishaya svigridim praho yatha svapnam manoratha. Yatha svapnam manoratha. In the dream state, in the dream, and when you are riding in your mental chariot, all this time we are imagining new things, isn't it? New things in our imagination. We bring that in the dream, as well as when you are in your imaginary world. In your imaginary world. Krishna is asking, is that all not a new birth? Is it all not a new birth? The mental chariot itself is a new birth. It is constantly changing everything. Mind is changing, and inside the body, body is changing constantly. Mind is also constantly changing. Krishna is asking, is that not a birth? Don't you call that as a birth? Because there's a change happened there, isn't it? That's Krishna's logic. It is a birth, isn't it? When you think about it. But due to our ajnanam inside, avidya inside, you are not taking it as birth. You are saying, I am permanent in this body, body is me, and therefore I am still carrying on. Therefore, and this body is the most important thing. This body was born on a particular day, this body is going to die one day. In this way, continuously that adhyasam with the body created this impression inside us that there is no such thing, that this, I am taking birth, I am dying. This is what Krishna is saying here. That as far as Krishna is concerned, that as much as new thoughts are coming inside in your mind, you are on a mental chariot. Mental chariot means manoratham. So many dreams and thoughts coming through. All that time you are changing, mind is changing. And it's all a new birth, Krishna said, because it's changed. Parinama, it's called. So, and in each of those changes, when the change is happening in the mind, your personality is changing, isn't it? Your personality is also changing at that time. And that's a new birth at that time. That's a new birth. You can see your perception about life in the early days, perception about life today has changed, is it not? At one time when you were a young man, you may have thought about various things, dreamt about many things, and planned many things in life. At that time you had one personality. And when you've gone through all the experiences of life, various ways, lot of misery and lot of problems and everything, after going through all that, what has happened now? You've changed. You have changed. Meanwhile, body was also changing, and inside the mind was also changing. Constantly changing, changing, changing. Krishna is saying, all this is birth and death happening. All the time, birth and death is happening. Not only in the body, as well as in the mind. As well as in the mind. And every time this change is happening, he's saying that another personality is taking birth and the personality is dying, isn't it? So every time an imagination comes like this, Krishna says the old imagination, what you had about life, goes away. So many old things you have imagined at different times, they all has come and gone, come and gone, come and gone. Practically every day something comes and goes in all our mind. Only thing, we don't give any much importance to it because we don't have time to analyze that. Rather, we are busy with the new imagination. Every day when a new idea comes, you are busy with that idea for that day. Next day some another idea comes, you are busy with that idea. But what we don't notice is that things are changing in me continuously. So this Krishna is asking, when it is like this, this birth, death, what you are talking about is whose birth, whose death, and who is born? That's a good question, isn't it? Whose death, whose birth, and who is born? That is the point Krishna is making. And you can't answer that, can you? Whose birth are we talking about? Whose death are we talking about? And who is born? One continuously changing experience is this life, is it not? Body, mind, constantly changing. So whose birth are we celebrating? Whose death are we celebrating? And who is born? When you leave your identification with Atma, with the soul, all these things, what is happening in the world, has no meaning. Strictly speaking, if you have lost your identity with the self, everything else what's happening in this world, you can't give any meaning to it, can you? You cannot give any real, genuine meaning to that. It has no meaning. What all happening is, lot of things are happening, continuously changing and finishing and continuously changing. That's all it is, body as well as the mind inside. How can you explain this? Krishna is asking that question. So therefore we have to ask, I'm just trying to get this point across about this happy birthday. How much ajnanam it is from Krishna's point of view. How much ajnanam it is. It's nothing, ajnanam has grown inside. And that ajnanam has created all these things. So you have to inquire, whose birthday are you talking about? Or talking about, and who is born? Who is born? Okay, if you say, I am born, if you say, I am born, then who am I? That's the next question. This person who is born, who is that? Who is that? And what is my identity? What is my identity? You say you feel that you are born, isn't it? If you feel that you are born, then who are you? What is your identity? So, so you can see that somewhere there is an ego. They are saying this, I am born, isn't it? What is the nature of that ego? Nature of that ego. And inquiring about that ego's existence. And so Krishna is saying, according to the different sankalpam or imagination in the mind, several living entities are taking birth and continuously changing and getting destroyed in that way. That is what is this world, Krishna is saying. This world is nothing but, according to the imagination inside the mind, lot of living entities are coming into existence. And they are going through that process of changes continuously and eventually getting destroyed. This is what we call as the birth and death. And it is a very subtle thing. You have to put together all this logic Krishna has spoken in the last many verses. Continuously analyze that through. And then you have to get yourself convinced about it first, that what Krishna says is the sensible thing. You see, sensible thing. Because we are unable to see
the birth and death of all these living entities because of their subtlety. Because of their subtlety. Their birth, that means this changes that is happening in the body and the mind is so subtle that we are not even able to take notice of it. That is the Brahma. We are continuously changing. The body is continuously changing. The mind is continuously changing. Krishna is saying all these changes that's happening is a birth and a death. Every time a change is happening, it's a birth and a death for the body as well as the mind, as well as the ego. As well as the ego. Personality is changing, mind is changing, body is changing. And all what is happening here is change, 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 that's all. And all these changes, Krishna is saying, it's because it is so subtle, you are unable to notice it in your understanding. It's not there. Not only that, just like you mentioned there, like the flame of the fire, or the fruits of the tree, or like the flow of the river, everything in the life is like that in our life also. These three examples he gives. The flame of the fire. The flow of the river. Flow of the river, yeah. And then the changes that's happening in the tree. Changes continuously happen. It creates the fruits and then the tree disappears in course of time. Isn't it? For a few years or few times it creates the fruits and then the tree disappears. While disappearing also, in each of these fruit, it is capable of bringing a similar tree. Each of the fruits, isn't it? From the seeds, it can happen. So, these three examples Krishna has given here, the flame of the fire, or the fruits of the tree, or the flow of the river. Flow of the river. So, if you look there, Krishna is saying that Nityada hyangabhudani bhavandina bhavanti cha kalena alakshya vegena sushmatval tanna drishyate yadarchisham srodasam cha bhalanam va vanaspadehe tathaiva sarvabhudanam vayo avastadeyah kridah. He says here, Uddhava, everything is like this. These three examples, what Krishna has spoken. The same thing, Buddhists took it from Vedam. This is in the Vedam and Buddhists have taken that. And they gave it a name for that. It is called Kshaniga Vijnana Vadam. Buddhists call it as Kshaniga Vijnana Vadam. Kshaniga Vijnana Vadam means this, that you cannot touch one river second time because the water changes happen there. It is called Kshaniga Vijnana Vadam. Buddhism is an important philosophy for them. Practically, there is not much difference from Buddhism to Vedam. They follow everything in the Vedam, but they don't accept the authority of the Vedam. That is why everything went wrong. Therefore, we can't accept Buddhism for this reason. Everything what Buddha has spoken is from the Vedam. But followers of Buddha, they rejected Vedam. Therefore, we can't accept their knowledge as authoritative. Although many times people ask this question, why we say Buddha is an incarnation of Krishna, isn't it? But we won't worship Buddha. And that baffles many Buddhist people. See, you are accepting Buddha as an incarnation of Krishna. Why you don't have a deity of Buddha in the altar? They say like that. Reason is this. We have no disrespect to Buddha. Because in knowledge everything, they have taken from the Vedam. Many things, 90% is Buddha's knowledge is all from the Vedam. But the difficulty is, Buddhism didn't start with Buddha. It was started by the followers later. Later they started, isn't it? So, because they started Buddhism and they didn't come under the authority of the Vedam, Vedic authority, Therefore, we cannot accept them. Anyone who doesn't accept the authority of the Vedam is not acceptable. Because Krishna gives such an importance to Vedam. Everything what Krishna speaks on the Vedic authority. To be honest about that, it may sound a little rude or higher bad thing to say. Even if Krishna comes and says something which is not in line with the Vedam, Krishna won't say first thing. But if Krishna says something which is not in line with the Vedam, that is not acceptable. That is the authority of the Vedam. All the Vedic philosophy's whole authority is Vedam. So Vedam, if Vedam says something, there is no further questioning there. That is the way it is. That is its strength. Listen. Because Vedam means what? Knowledge. Vedam means knowledge, isn't it? This is the reason. In spite of so many disagreements with Acharya, they will all say, we accept the Vedic authority. There may be differences in the way they presented the truth to us. Whether it is Shankaracharya or Ramanuja or Madhva or Vishnu Swami or Nimbarka or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, no matter who it is, they will not go step out of this authority of the Vedam. Authority of the Vedam is above everything else. That you can't trespass. You can't reject the authority of the Vedam and start. That means you have started a new religion. New religion. Then it is a religion then. And this was the system for a very, very long time. The first person who broke away from that was Lord Buddha. Lord Buddha means from his time it started. And then started the Jainism. And then started Christianity. And then started Islam. And then started many others also. They are all later. Not before this, with Buddha's time, only Vedam existed, nothing else. And that was the total authority. There was no question. There was no another religion. There was only one religion in the whole creation, in this planet. And that was Vedam. That was Vedam. Outside, there was no other authority. That is the power of the Vedam. That's why Krishna says here that then river is flowing. What Kshanika Vijnana Vadam, they have much more explanations to all these things in the Buddhism. Buddhism also grew up like this because Buddhism, who picked up Buddhism? When Lord Buddha came and after that, Buddhism, they went in a different directions. In the Vedic times, Gurukulas existed. Only Gurukulam existed. That was the way of Vedic knowledge was spread in that way. And that means a guru and his gurukulam and a few students. And they lived together and the knowledge was given. So that means in a very smaller level everything was done. When Buddhism came, what did they do? First thing, they started going against Varnashrama Dharma. That was things that happened in the growth of Buddhism. They rejected Varnashrama Dharma and they started recruiting people from the Sanatana Dharma to become members of the Bauddha Dharma. Bauddha. In other words, not only that, they started institutions. They were the people first to start institutions. And when they recruited people, they mostly recruited from the Brahminical background who became Buddhist monks later. They were all mostly Brahmanas who became the Buddhist monks. They were recruited like that. And therefore, they developed an educational system, universities-like affair and everything, Buddhism started. And Buddhism spread very fast because of they taken a different approach than the Vaidika system. What did they do through their universities? And they had all Buddhist monks preaching and expanding it. Very fast it went to China and it went to Japan. And all the Far East, everywhere. It spread very fast, all these countries. China, Japan, everywhere, it took over. Buddhism took over. But then what happened? Vaidika Dharma come back again. Because Vedam's authority, if you question, it will not stay. It will go. You cannot stay forever. If you question, because authority of the Vedam is so strong, that Vedam is fundamentally is the truth. Is what is spoken in the Vedam. You can't question that. It will come back again, one way or the other, it will come back in this world. And the very place where Buddhism was born, Buddhism was taken out from there. Buddhism had to leave, had to go. And then it went and stayed in other countries more, rather than in the place where it was born. There itself, Buddhism didn't stay very long, Buddhism had to go. So the Krishna's point is that this river flow example, these three examples, Krishna gives examples quite often, because even you can see in the Bhagavad Gita also, there are many times Krishna has given us examples, isn't it? So, so Buddhism calls it as Kshaniga Vijnana Vadam, that's all. So that means that river is flowing. If you touch the river now, you can't touch that river again, the same river. That river is gone. Similarly, when just like a river is flowing, you touch it once, you can't touch that river at the same way again. By the time you have touched, it is gone. Similarly, if you want to have your body what you had a few moments ago, you can't have it. Isn't it? You had a body a few minutes ago. That body, you don't have it now. It is gone. That body is gone. You have a different body now. Similarly, your mind also, if you want to have the same mind now, you can't have it. Your mind has changed. Few minutes ago you had one mind. Right at this moment you have another mind. What is existing? So this continuous change, Krishna says, take notice of that. And the lamp is burning. And when you look at the lamp, it's burning all the time, isn't it? If the oil is there and the wick is there, and it takes the form of the fire and it goes into the space, isn't it? The fire goes into the space. The oil, the wick and the fire. And the fire goes through that. And we call that as fire. So fire is everywhere. Fire is everywhere. Fire is in the firewood also. There is fire there. And fire is in this our body also. There is fire, isn't it? That's why we feel the heat in the body. And fire is in the oil also. Fire is in the wick also. There is fire. So, that fire which is in the oil, which is in the firewood, which is in the wick, that is what is appearing as fire. That's what is appearing as fire. For example, you got firewood. Say, good firewood you brought, some firewood, good firewood you brought it. And it is that wood that turns into fire later. Turns into fire later. And similarly, fire is burning. You have kept a pot of water on top of that firewood. Fire is burning. And first fire entered into the pot. Then the fire entered into the water in there. And if you have put rice into that water, the fire enters into the rice as well, isn't it? Enters into the rice. So fire in the wood entered into the fire in the pot. Then that fire entered into the pot and then entered into the water and then when entered into the rice. This example is mentioned in the Jadabharata story. If you remember, you can look at it. You will see there. So, what happened there was that because it has come from the wood, that fire, originally, that part of that fire which has come from the wood, it will get into the rice also. Is it not? Because it originally came from the wood. So that will go and a part of that will enter into the rice. So similarly, Krishna is saying here, similarly, this gas, what we cook, use for cooking, gas, there is fire in the gas. So it is fire from the gas that enters into the pot, that enters into the water, that enters into the rice, and that gets into us, inside us. It gets inside us. So, therefore, just like you get the gasoline or petrol, this vehicle starts running on that petrol that has gone in. That's why it's running like this all the time. It's not staying in one place. Continuously running business. It's, that is what, that is why it's running like this. Krishna is saying here, so, because constantly, like the lamp, is constantly changing, this change is happening in the Prakriti, in the nature, this change is happening. That is what he mentions there. Ghi means walk and Dhi means buddhi, intelligence. You look at those verses, 44 and 45. Soyam divarchusham yadvad srodasam tajidam jalam soyam pumaniti imridam mrishagir dhir mrishayusham. That is at end. Then he says, yadvarchusham srodasam va bhalanam va vanaspade tathaiva sarvabhudanam vayo avastadayah kritah soyam divarchusham yadvad Srodasam tadidam jalam soyam mamanidi imranam mrishaghir dhir mrishayusham. Those two verses. Ghi means walk, word, and dhi means intelligence. This is just to understand in the Krishna's way how Krishna is saying this to us. Krishna's logic also is more sensible. Because we are not so subtle. That is our problem. It's like Krishna is saying that this example, that fire from which source it's coming? From where is the source? That is also important, isn't it? That we think that all fire is the same. Fire in the microwave, fire in the gas, fire in the electricity, fire in the wood, they're all same, we say. After all, it is fire only. No, it's not. That's Krishna's point. Because depending on the type of fire that has gone in, the behavior of the person also will change. This cooking, gas being used for cooking, it's not very long ago, isn't it? Probably 50 years, I don't know, 50, 60, 70 years maybe. Before that, all over the world, people cooked from either from the wood or from coal. Maybe coal countries, they use the coal. But by and large, everyone used wood, isn't it? Wood was used for cooking. Maybe that's why at that time we were not running like this, the way we are running now. The way we are running now, if you look at us, it's real madness, isn't it? You can't live in one place, anywhere in the world. Everywhere people are moving. No connection with people, each other. Every time you're meeting new people, new environment, no connections to each other. it's a little artificial. It's not the natural existence, isn't it? And therefore, there is no relationship with people. There is no proper behavior, because everyone is doing what suits them. It's nothing controlled by any shastram or any proper social activities. Anyway, Krishna is saying here that suppose you have deposited some money in the bank, and they are saying that, oh, we need an identity card to see that you are the same person and all that. When you want to open a bank account, there's a lot of things now like that, isn't it? So you gave them a photo of your identity, and after many years, you have taken another photo of you. You have taken another photo of yours, and you take that photo, because if you are dependent on the identity card, you go there with that photo, they won't give you the money back, would they? Because the photo you have given them 10 years ago, say you deposited 10,000 pounds for 20 years or something, and then next time when you go back with your identity card, they don't have to give you back the money, because you are not the same person. You come with a new photo. What to do at that time? So you can't hold on to that as permanent, because the cells are changing inside the body. So, the person who deposited the money, the cells have changed in the body, and after 10 years, he doesn't exist. That means you can't get the money back. So, Krishna is asking, where is that person gone? That who was there 10 years ago is not there. You can't say he is still there. Soyam devadataha means body, mind, everything has changed. And Krishna says, still he is saying, I am the same person. Still he is saying, I am the person. But at the same time, that person is changing. Only thing is, the ego inside is changing, is saying that I am the same person. But otherwise, everything has changed. Look at that verses now. It says, if we look at the verses 46, 47 and 48. Ma sosya karma bhijena jayate sopyayam puman mriyadeva amaro brandhya yadhagner dharusam yudaha nisheka garbha janmani balya kaumara yavanam vayomadhyam jara mrtu ityavastha stanor mavaha eda manorathamayi anyasyo vacha jastanu gunasangad ubadate kochil kaschil jahadicha. So, normally with the body, we say six changes. Shat Parinama Vedam, we call it as six changes. In Bhagavatam also, you will see it spoken with six changes. Isn't it? Krishna doesn't give much importance to numbers. Have you noticed that? He doesn't give any importance because number, like time and space, is another Brahman. It is. So, here Krishna is saying, there is nine changes. There, that is why when all these questions came up about elements, Krishna says they are all correct, he said. 10, 14, 15, 27, 26, 13, 9, 3, 4, they are all correct, he said. Is it not? That's what he said before. So you can see, number is a game that intelligence plays with. And once you say 9 is correct, then the next thing you will say is 6 must be wrong. This is the way mind works, is it not? So that is the point here also you can see. Generally in Shastram they say 6. Shat Parinama Vedam. If you look into this Prahlad Maharaj's story in the 7th canto, he will talk about the 6 changes happening in the body. Birth, growth, stays for some time, starts decaying, death. In that way there is 6 changes happening in the body. Isn't it? Shat Bhava Vigaram, Shat Parinama Vedam they call it. Here Krishna is saying, no, 9, he says. For Krishna it is 9. What are they? Nishegam, Nishegam, Garbham, Janmam, Balyam, Kaumaram, Yavanam, Vaya, Jara, Mrityu. 9 stages, he is saying here. For the body. For the body. So, we'll have a short break now.
Cheto darpanam arjanam bhavamaha bhavagni nirvavanam shreya kaidava chandriga vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam anandam budivardhanam pradipada purnamrada swadhanam sarvatma subhanam param vijayade shri krishna sangirtanam nannamakari bahuda nija sarva shakti తత్రార్పితాని విదా స్వర్ణేన కాల ఏదాదృశం తవ కృపా భగవాన్ మమాపి దుర్దైవమీదృశమిహాజని నానురాగా తృణారవిషీచేన కరోరవి సహిష్ణున అమానినా మానదేన యుద్ధనీయ సదా మధనం న జనం న సుందరి జగదీశ కామయ మమ జన్మని జన్మనీశ్వరి భవదాద్ భక్తిరహై అయి నందనోజకింకర పతితామాంశమే భవాంబుదౌ కృపయా తవ పాద పంకజ స్థిత ధూళి సదృశం విచిన్వయ నయనం గలద శ్రుధారయ వదనం గద్గద రుద్ధయా గిరా పులగైర్నిచితం కదావపు తవర్నామ గ్రహణే భవిష్యతి యుగాయిదం నిమేషేణ చక్షుషా ప్రావిశాయిదం శూన్యాయిదం జగల్ సర్వం గోవింద విరహేణం ఆశ్లేష్య వా పాదరదాం వినష్టు మాం అదర్శనామర్మహదాం కరోతు వా యథా తథా వా విదధాతు లంబనో మత్ప్రాణనాథాస్తు నయమనా పరా.
So that verse 47, Nishekham Garbham Janmam Valyam Kaumaram Yuvanam Vayomadhyam Jara Mrityu. Total nine. These nine changes spoken about the body. So Nishekha means entering into the womb, entering into the womb. In other words, and then pregnancy happens, takes birth from the pregnancy. Garbham, Nishekham, Garbham, Janmani, Garbham, Janmani, Garbham, Janmani. Then everything else. So these nine things what Krishna has spoken here, that exists for the body.
Yatha manoratamayir anyasyocha vajastanu gunasangad ubadate kojil kaschil jahadicha.
So all these things are happening for the body, isn't it? And it is experienced in the body. But are you the body? Or is the body yours? That's another question, isn't it? Is your body it is? We say it is our body, but is this your body? Who gave you the body? Material nature has given the body, isn't it? Have you really got the body? That's another question. All these questions Krishna is asking to make it very clear to us, this ajnanam in us that I am this body, it's my body. This has to go. I am this body. Body is mine. Body is meant for my enjoyment. These are the three basic ajnanam in us. That has to go. I am this body. Body is mine. Body is meant for my enjoyment. This is the ajnanam or avidya. That is what Krishna is saying here. That are you the body? You say, you are experiencing this body, but are you the body, or is this body yours, or have you really got this body to enjoy? What does body means? What is this body actually? Krishna is saying it is one of the magic of the Maya. Maya's one amazing magic, that is, this body is. So all these things it's interesting to hear, isn't it? What Krishna is saying, so many things about this body, is very interesting to hear. But when it comes to life in our normal existence here, it's very difficult to know whether it is actually happening or not. So here all I can say is this. Individually if you take it, and if you take advantage of this knowledge, Krishna's instructions, individually you have to take it, and then if you do shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, this is where nididhyasanam comes. Nididhyasanam means you have heard something now from Bhagavatam, isn't it, last few days. In 19th chapter, Krishna spoke pure spiritual knowledge. Then in 20th, 21st chapter, Krishna spoke about the three yoga systems. And then Krishna spoke about Vidhi Nishedam, 21st. And in this 22nd chapter, he discussed about this body and the mind, basically. But in a way, to make us understand that we have no connection with this body. So, if individually, if you take it, individually, this is important, individually, if you take it, and if you analyze it within yourself, this is called mananam. And then, if you agree with Krishna, what Krishna has spoken, because Krishna is trying to give us a certain understanding, isn't it? We have some understanding about ourselves now, but Krishna is giving a different understanding about us now, about our body, about our mind, about birth, about death and all these things. If we study these things, what Krishna has spoken here in these chapters, 19th chapter about the soul, and in this 22nd chapter about the changes which Krishna calls as death, and in explanation to birth, death, old age, disease, everything, what comes through in this chapter. This is meant for Nididhyasana. Nididhyasana. Nididhyasana means that after you have heard Krishna's words on all these things, you have scrutinized it yourself within your own mind and intelligence, and you have come to an agreement with Krishna that what you are saying is, I accept it. After accepting it, living with that understanding all the time, that is Nididhyasana. Nididhyasana is that stage that what you have got it, you have accepted then. After, that means you have to hear a lot first about Krishna's words. You have to hear it sufficiently, that hearing Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam and all that, and accepting that, that what you are saying is the right thing, my understanding is wrong about life. What I have got in my own head about me and my body and my life, everything, is completely false. But I have accepted what Krishna is saying. And that comes through after mananam, after contemplation, a lot of contemplation. And then what you have got, that conclusion, what you have got from Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam as a final conclusion of everything, in order to stick to that and keep that flow all the time inside, that knowledge is called Nididhyasana. It's called Nididhyasana. So, so that is why, now I have spoken now last 2 weeks, Bhagavadam, these three chapters, 19, 20, 21st and 22nd today, four chapters, we are talking about it. It is very difficult to say that everybody will get benefited by that. That is very difficult to say. I can only say this, that this is how Krishna has put it in terms. And whether every individual, because every individual has to utilize it according to their own seriousness and their own Shraddha, they have to utilize it properly. And therefore, every jiva, in which level it will take it on board, that's very difficult to say. It will take it on board. So each jiva, in whichever level they are, accordingly they will take it. Isn't it? Some jiva, someone who is very serious and who is really in agreement with Krishna, they will find it interesting and they will go deep into it. And they will give time for scrutiny or for mananam, contemplation or reflection, and then they will accept it and Nididhyasana will happen inside. But because that is an individual thing, it is not, you can't do collectively. It has to be done individually. So they will capture according to their own Shraddha inside. Well, actually, what is body, what we are talking about, Shariram or Deham, what we call it as, in reality, our identity is only Atma, Chaitanyam, or the living force inside. So, this Chaitanyam or living force, we are seeing that living force through a broken, through a broken mirror. That is what is this body is. You are seeing it through a broken mirror. Just like when you see your body in a broken mirror, how you feel, you don't feel perfection there, isn't it? You don't see you properly. when you see through a broken mirror. Similarly, this Atma self inside, Atma inside, we are seeing through a broken mirror. In other words, our vision is not correct. So, because there is something wrong in our vision, that is why this we feel this experience of the body. We feel the experience of the body. Body is not even meant to exist. Like in this is Krishna is talking about those who are in the realized state. That is the normal state. The realized state is the normal state. But there is somewhere some fault in the system. Therefore, we are experiencing the body. We are experiencing the body. And because it is like that, this vastu or thing called body, it doesn't have any pramanam. Pramanam means any authority. Any authority. From the absolute platform, if you look at it, what is this body? So, what is this body if you look at it from the absolute level? Say there is a doctor there, and the doctor has got a microscope, has a microscope. If he goes through a microscope, he looks at the microscope and he sees something there. And if he looks at through a microscope, each part of our body, if he looks at it through a microscope, he will see in a different way than the way we are seeing the body now. Is it not? Suppose a scientist or a doctor, he has got a very powerful microscope, and he tells us to show us our hand. I show my hand to him, and he looks at this hand. The way he will see the hand will be completely different way I am seeing this hand. Is it not? So, and he is saying that the scientists are saying there is this thing called DNA in the body, and all, including all of that together, what it is now at the moment is a jiva which is moving around with a lot of false ego. That's what it is. Basically, this body, if you say, I'm this body, strictly speaking, what we have to say is, it has got some life in there, living force, and plus it has got some false ego. These two things. There is life there is false ego there. And it's moving around. Rest of the things that so it is that living force and the false ego combined together is what we call as the personality now. Living force is moving around, false ego is the power behind that. And in that package, jiva as it is called, in a very minute, extremely minute particle, is this awareness inside as aham, aham, which is called as spurana. Spurana is the word used in the aham, aham. It comes out in the form of a spurana. Spurana means it is a kind of manifestation inside of that living force in and the jiva inside. And that Atma, who comes as aham, aham, that is a special person. It's a special person. And so, and that Atma is present, that same Atma is present in others as well. Others also, he is present. So, if I combine everybody together here and say, I am, that is how will it be in that case. Similarly, that is how, what, when I say this body is like that. This body is like that. Lot of things have come and joined together, and I am calling it as I am. That's what it is. Just like this aham aham spurana inside us. I am, awareness inside. We all have that, isn't it? That awareness. Now, if I am saying aham, you are also saying aham, somebody else is saying aham. If I combine all these aham together and say saham, it won't work practically. So similarly, this body is a combination of various things. That is why Krishna uses the word sangharam, sharira sangharam. Sangharam means body came, mind came, intelligence came, ego came, senses came, they all got together, and then that package all together, that is what we call it as the body. So when we have finished this class now, all of us will go in our own way in different directions, isn't it? And similarly, body is like that. When after a certain time they get disintegrated, and everything goes its own way. The elements goes in its own way. The subtle body also goes its own way. It also breaks up. That is why, this is the reason, in Vedantam they say, don't look at the body and ask for an explanation of the body. You can't explain this body, can you? In really, to explain this body is very, very difficult. That is why I say that in this body there are many things. Body is there, mind is there, intelligence is there, ego is there, living force is there. And again, if you say in the body is concerned, material elements are there, five elements, is it not? So, which one is this body? Which one is this body we are referring to? So, you can't do anything about it. There are many things like that. The only thing what you can say in this body, what you can say you are that, is only that awareness. Aham. That is your only experience what you have. And that is the only one thing what you say that you can take seriously in this body. In this body, the only thing that is serious is not that. So, because that is the only experience what you have. You haven't got experience of the body. Body is existing there, but falsely due to your whole existence is in that awareness only. Only in that aham, 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 in that awareness only your existence is not in the body. As I said, the body, you can't say that it is yours, first thing. It's not your body. And you can see from the very nature of the body that it breaks up one day and everything goes its own way. It's not one entity, is it? It's not one entity. It's a combination of various things. And you are still calling it as body, my body, my body, my body, you say. Krishna's point is, so many things have come together. Elements, five material elements. Earth, water, air, ether, fire. Mind, intelligence, false ego, and jiva, all of them has come together and is staying like this for the moment. And you are saying it's my body, my body, my body. Where is your body? Krishna is asking. Where is your body? And one day as it has come together, it will also break up and go. So therefore, Krishna is saying here that the only thing what you can really say permanently there, and with which you will never get separated, which will always remain as you, is your awareness. Aham, aham, aham. That. And your so-called existence, whole existence, is in that aham, not in the body. Not in the body. But instead if you say, oh, I am existing in the liver, I am existing in the kidney, I am existing in my intestines, that is all not your existence. None of them is your existence. And whether you are there or not, even you are not aware of that. Although you may say it's my kidney, my liver, my intestines and all that. So, you are not there present in any of them. Actually, you are only present in this awareness. So, I am not there. Similarly, I am not here also. I am only in that awareness. I am present there. So, as much as you are not there in the kidney, you are not in the intestines, you are not in the liver, and you are not in the any other place. Similarly, that in this body also, except in that place where you are, that is in this awareness, or the place where they refer to as the heart, that nowhere else your presence is there. You are not present anywhere else. What is the proof for that? What is the proof for that? Because I don't know anything about my kidney. I'm not conscious of a kidney there. I'm not conscious of a liver there. I'm not conscious of intestines there, am I? I'm not conscious of any of those things. It's there. Only if you cut it open and somebody says to you, this is your liver, yes, I'll say it's my liver. Otherwise, I'm not conscious of that, isn't it? Because I have not seen them before, I may not see them even in my life. Although I'm saying it's mine. I may not see any of them in my life, or you may see everything. If you get operated 10 times, all parts, they'll show it. If you happen to see that. Yeah. So, strictly speaking, as far as body is concerned, your ownership of the body is questionable. Ownership of the body is questionable. You are possessing the body is also questionable. Do you really have your body? That's the question. For main reason being, various things have come and joined together and it is standing there and you are saying it's mine and living in that illusion. So, therefore, everything is separate in that sense, that body, different elements, different organs and different, they are all different particles. And when they all combine together and took a form, you start saying that it is born, it is grown, it has changed. So many stories we talk about like that. So, do you understand the logic behind Krishna's words? Krishna's point is that you just have to analyze your own body and see these three understanding you have to get finally. I'm not this body, body is not mine, body is not meant for my enjoyment. These three important things. In Jnanamargam, they are very important. And in order to make us aware, Krishna has put forward all the logic like this to make us aware that this. But what we do is, after all this, as soon as we get a little pain, we say, we cry. Oh, I'm feeling severe pain, I say. Why? Because of the problem of identification with the body. So, so the only thing is that it is not only for understanding, it is for realization. That is what Krishna says. So, there again you have to say like Narayan Prandhanan said that you keep saying, have you understood? You'll say, yes, I have understood that I cannot understand. That conclusion you have to come to, isn't it? So, really speaking, this awareness in us of ourselves is our actual body. That's the most important question I say. Because awareness of yourself is in you all the time. Therefore, that is your body. Not this gross body. Not the gross body. As much as possible, we will keep saying this. As much times possible, as many times as possible. But then to take it and to develop it, that understanding is individuals. Every individual has to do it himself. So, Krishna is saying here, so it is due to that body, which body? The awareness. In that body, that is where our real personality is. Which one? That awareness. Awareness is our body, awareness is our personality, and awareness is our real existence also. Is it not? Awareness is our real existence. Astitva. Astitva means existence. Because you have to remember this. We are strongly in the bodily concept of life. And we have to get to the other side. Which one? In the spiritual identity. That's what we want to be. We want to be there in the spiritual identity. And Krishna is saying to us, so many things in the name of body you are identifying with is all false. That's what he says here. That your personality, you are now thinking you are the body. One mistake. Then your existence is in your body. Another mistake. All that is a mistake. All illusion. Maya is working like this through us. So, real personality is that awareness. Real body is the awareness. Real existence is in the awareness, not in the body. In the body, your existence is questionable, isn't it? In many ways, you have no connection with the body itself. Anything what's happening in the body is not known to you. Only when it gives you pain, or when you can't do things what you want to do, then you start inquiring about it, what has gone wrong inside the body. Till then you are not aware of that. When problem happens in the body, you are not aware of that. After the problem has happened, then you go to the doctor and inquire what went wrong with my body. That, what does that show? That shows that you are not aware of the body, what's going on inside the body, isn't it? You have no connection with the body. If you had connection with the body, when something was happening in the body, you should have known about that, but you didn't know. After you got sick and you got started giving trouble, then you started inquiring what went wrong. But when things were happening in the body, when things were going wrong, you didn't know about it, did you? You didn't know anything what was going wrong, when it was going wrong. After it has happened, and then you started seeing some change, experiencing some changes in the body, pain or sickness, or you can't digest the food, or you have other heart, chest pain, or so many different things. Only when the symptoms came of the disturbances came, then you started inquiring, what's wrong with me? What does that show? It shows that you are not the body. You are not the body. Because you have no connection with the body. If you had the connection, when the problem happened, you should have known. Should you not? Is it not? If you had a connection with the body, when you were getting sick, immediately you should have known. But you don't know about it. Only after the body got sick, and then its symptoms started appearing in the body, you started looking at it. And then you are going to doctor, looking for some medicine and everything. But what is understanding in you all the time? Oh, it's my body, it's my body. See that? You are still thinking, you are always going to the doctor also, you are thinking, oh, my body, my body. If it was your body, you should have known when the problem started, but you didn't know. That shows it was not your body. That's another thing. It was not your body, and you had no connection with the body. And those things Krishna is mentioning here, that only thing which you are always in touch with, which you are always conscious of, is only your awareness. I am, I am, I am. That awareness, and that is actually your body. That is actually your body. And that exactly is your, Krishna is saying here, that is your personality, that awareness. That is your real personality. Not the false personality which you are assuming in the world with the body. Because this personality, false personality which you are identifying with in the world, with this body, like the body, you have no connection with it also. Why? In the deep sleep state, where is it gone? Where is that personality gone? Yeah. So, personality or that individuality which you are identifying with the body and you are presenting yourself to this world as I am, it's all farce. It's all farce. It's not real. That is what Krishna is saying, that just like the body you see that you have no connection, with that false personality also you have no connection. Why? In the deep sleep state, where has he gone? The whole thing is a farce. Body is a farce. That is why in Vedantam they say, body doesn't exist. Body doesn't exist. In you exist, body doesn't exist. You exist because awareness is there in you. Consciousness is there, awareness. Bodham or Satta, Kevalana Bhavanandam, all words used in the Bhagavatam, Yatti, Sutram, and Prajna, and Krishna uses all sorts of words in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. That is the only thing what is real. That's the only thing what's real. Everything else is coming, going in him. It is happening, all these things. So, what we have to do really is that after this understanding all these, what Krishna has spoken and what we discussed this morning, what we have to do is that our Shraddha should be only on that. On what? This awareness. Because that's all what we have got. Body, you haven't got it. Isn't it? You haven't got the body. You think that you have got it, but you haven't got it. Because it's going to go one day. You may not ask you also, I'm going, I won't say, tell you like that. It'll leave you and go. But what you have got is this awareness. So, to take that awareness seriously. And in that case, there's only one thing to do, that to sit in silence. Sit in silence and reflect on that awareness seriously. To take it seriously. That something there happening, this seriousness as well as this awareness is concerned. You can close down all the books, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavad, Upanishads, everything. And none of these books can give you that. That also another important thing. We are studying all these books, but books cannot give you that. That will only come when your attention falls on that awareness. And till that awareness itself reveals to you that this is what I am. This is what I am. So that has to come from that awareness. That awareness is Krishna. That awareness is, we call awareness in one language. In another way you call it as Krishna. That awareness is Krishna. So attention, more attention should be on that rather than all the books, all the other activities or all the other things what you have. And with a firm mind to take that seriously and to become nishtha. Nishtha means fixed upon that. That means to give some time for this self-inquiring about the self in that way. Through this way Krishna has presented in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, all these, what we are discussing, all that is all supplementary only. Books are a supplementary thing to help that process. That process is more important than the books, than the classes and all other things. Because hearing from the CD, hearing from the video and all that, and wandering around all over the world, that is all ultimately a waste of time. Of course, to maintain the body, some work has to be done. What is necessary, we have to do it, minimum things. But as much as time allows us, more attention should be on this awareness or aham. And till we come to this firm conclusions that awareness or aham is my real identity, up to that time, mananam has to continue. If Krishna says, Yoga Vasishtam says this, if you can do that, even within a few days, you can get fixed up in the truth. Fixed up in the truth. Dinaivehi, dinaidevaho maasehi prapnoshimam param dhyam. Yoga Vasishtam says this. Even in a few days or a month, this realization can happen. This realization can happen. That depends on the among strong mananam and nididhyasanam on that. So, if we can stay away from all other things, that means not to get absorbed in the shastram, even Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, but rather more on to that awareness inside, and if we keep on practicing in that, to be situated in that awareness, then Krishna is saying here, you will realize that these nine things what Krishna has spoken, that doesn't exist in there, in that awareness. It exists only in the body. Nishegam, garbham, janmam, vardakyam, jara, mrityu. None of them exist in the awareness. Now, after seeing all these things, what is the explanation to that? Krishna is saying here, Manoratham Mai. See the verse 48. Eta మనోరథమయీర్ అన్యస్యోచావజాస్తను గుణసంగాద్ ఉపాదతే క్వచిల్ కశ్చిల్ జహాతి చ. క్వచిల్ కశ్చిల్ జహాతి చ. హి సేస్ హియర్ దట్ దట్ వైల్ డూయింగ్ దీస్ థింగ్స్ కృష్ణ ఇస్ సేయింగ్ యు హావ్ టు కీప్ ద మైండ్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ ఇట్. When you come to the inquiry of the self, you have to keep the mind out of it. Why? If you start using the mind, then it will remain in the mind. You will not move into the awareness. Mind, that's what the problem with the mind. Suppose you have heard now Bhagavatam. You have heard Bhagavad Gita also a lot, isn't it? Hopefully by Krishna's grace you may hear all the 18 chapters of the Bhagavad Gita and the remaining part of Bhagavatam also. And with these two literatures, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, practically everything what we need to know to realize the truth is there. We don't need anything else, strictly speaking, outside these two books, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. But after hearing all of that, at one point, when you completed all these things at least, you will know that there is only one thing I have to do. You will come to that understanding. That is, I have understood now what this body means. I have understood what mind means. Understood what intelligence means, ego means, but I understand now that I don't have anything to do with any of those things. Strictly, I am only this awareness in me. Aham, aham asmi, aham asmi. That aham is what we are. That's our body. That's our existence. That is the only reality in all these things. Everything else is false. Having come to that conclusion, then how do I stay in that state all the time? That is when you have to give up all the books by then and constantly get to that state that I am that awareness, nothing else in me. I only exist in that awareness, not in the body, not in the mind. This has to become very firmly established inside. Firmly established inside. So, if after seeing all these changes in the body, what Krishna has spoken, Nishekam, Garbham, they are all in the body, isn't it? Janmam, Valyam, Kaumaram, Yauvanam, Vayomadhyam, Jara, Mrityu, all of them are in the body. After seeing all these things, then you want an explanation and you start saying that Manoratamai, Krishna says, Eda Manoratamayam, that then you will, if you take all these things seriously, what will happen is, you will go into the mind. That is the problem. That's what Krishna is saying there. That if you take these nine changes, important, then what will happen? You will go into the body straight away. That means you will go into the mind first. Krishna says, when you go into the mind, means you are going into the body. Body has come from the mind, isn't it? Krishna always talks in terms of the mind, all the time. So he's saying there, if you take these nine things, that means you have gone into the mind. You have gone into the mind. So while scrutinizing this knowledge, what Krishna has spoken, you have to remain free from the mind. You have to remain free. It shouldn't happen inside the mind. Because it's in the mind, all these things will come in. All these things will come in. And as soon as you start using the mind, it's just like using a mobile phone. Just like using a mobile phone. I am not the mobile phone, isn't it? And if I start using the mobile phone, after a while, I get so close to the mobile phone that practically my existence is that mobile phone. Isn't it? You know what I'm saying? That you may, people who use mobile phone very frequently, very often, continuously, have you seen some people using the mobile phone like that? There are some people like that, especially among the young people now. They cannot stay away from the mobile phone. either texting or messaging or what they call it, or the various other, and the choice is unlimited now, isn't it, on the mobile phone. So similarly, and what happens finally, you become a slave of that mobile phone. You are not anymore yourself. Whatever the mobile phone says, you keep doing it. In a very subtle level, you become a slave of that mobile phone. So you become a slave of the mobile phone. Similarly, this mind is something similar to that. You have become a slave of that mind. Exactly like the mobile phone, another thing is this mind. This mind is another thing. And if you keep on using it and practicing it, and you have become addicted to that, such a person will find it very difficult to be situated in that awareness, aham. To come to awareness is difficult then. If you are situated in the mind all the time, you kept using the mind like the phone, kept on using the mind life after life, and even in this life, everything what you know is through the mind. So, like the mobile phone you have to throw away, you have to throw the mind also away. Then you can be in that awareness. You can be in the awareness. Otherwise, because your identity is Chaitanyam, living force, that is awareness. Only in awareness you will find the Shanti. Only in awareness you will find bliss. Only in awareness you will experience eternity. And only in awareness you have full knowledge. It's all in the awareness only. Never in the mind, never in the body. And what we are experiencing today is that difficulty of being in the mind, like the mobile phone. Like mobile phone, we have become a slave by using it regularly all the time. Then you will see, when you see another person, you don't even look at the person. You may be talking to him, but you are looking at the phone. You will see these people, especially among the young people, you see this. They are having a conversation, two people, and both of them are on their mobile phone. And they are talking to each other and they are hitting some button on the mobile phone. Why? Why is that? That is not how you converse with somebody. When you talk to someone, you look at the face and talk to the person. No. They'll be looking somewhere, they're thinking something. Or suddenly mobile phone rings or message comes, you leave the friend and go up to the mobile. All these things. This is all that I'm just saying, that how we all have become a slave of this thing, mobile phone. Equally, in the same way, it's only a comparison, in the same way, we have been become a slave of the mind for a long, long time. And as long as you are a slave of this mind, it will never be possible to experience this awareness inside. The awareness is totally independent. Because only in awareness, what Krishna says, your spiritual nature will manifest. Keeping your so-called mind, keeping your body, and if you want to be spiritual, it's not going to happen. You may as well live, if you want to be with the body, want to be with the mind, you may as well live a life of a materialist, rather than having a show bottle spiritualism. Real spirituality is when we break up our connection with the body, connection with the mind. Equally bad that is. So, what we are suffering today is due to this situation or addiction to the mind. That is what our problem is. So, we have started using the mind, and this, which is a different thing from us, which is a different thing from us. And because we kept using this mind for so long, and we have become addicted to that, we became addicted to the mind, therefore, everything we try to get through the mind. We want to accept things through the mind only, even knowledge about Krishna. About Krishna also, we want to get it through the mind. And therefore, we have got into this trouble. So, and because it is, we are in this dangerous situation. From the spiritual point of view, we are in a very dangerous situation. Therefore, when we talk about Atma, when we talk about soul, all these things, it all sounds like French. Isn't it? When we talk about soul, when we talk about Atma, when we talk about Brahman, when we talk about Maya, everything sounds like French. Because of this. Because of using this mind. That's what has happened. So, just like in a drama, one person has taken the role of, say, Ravana or Duryodhana or any other actor. What happens? When he takes that role, he has to identify with that, isn't it? With that role, he has to behave like Ravana. Or he has to behave like Arjuna, or he has to behave like Duryodhana, whatever it is. Similarly, this mind, and along with that the senses, we got trapped in that. So, the mind itself is a special personality there, who does intelligence, senses, material elements, they are all individual persons inside us operating there. And I have only one identity, that is this awareness inside, and I have that connection with Krishna in that way, through that identity, awareness. Awareness is our connection with Krishna, and that is all what I am. I am nothing else than that. And and there I have a connection. How is that? Through the Antaryami. Through the Antaryami. Antaryami inside me, me and Antaryami are together. Me and Antaryami are together. That and aham, that experience, that it is that Antaryami in the form of that experience as aham, it is the same one that is coming out through the eyes, ears, nose, mind, intelligence, body and the heart. That is all what that is coming through into the world in this different, on its own, none of them have any importance, neither the eyes nor the ears. But when Antaryami and aham comes through inside, now Antaryami and aham, they are together, always together. Antaryami and aham are always together. When aham wants to come out, it comes through the eye, it comes through the ears, it comes through the nose, it comes through the mind, it comes through the intelligence, it comes through the ego, it comes through the body, in different ways it comes out. So what's happening now? Now, if you look back, you will see, in that awareness of aham, that awareness, and the Antaryami together, that is my real existence. Now, when we say aham, Antaryami, in two different ways we are designating that, because of its function, because of its function. Functional separation, that is, aham and Antaryami. Functionally, you have to separate it like that. Functionally, actually there is only Krishna. Krishna in one way is acting as Antaryami, in another way is acting as the Atma or the living force, Chaitanyam inside. For functional difference that is, but Vastu is one. Vastu is one. There cannot be two. There has to be only one. So that is the point Krishna is saying here, that and when this realization of aham, awareness becomes higher than the awareness of the body. At the moment we are living in the body, isn't it? Body, mind, ego and all that. But when this attention, focus has fallen on to the aham, awareness inside, and Antaryami inside, pratibodha vihitam kshanam kshanam kshanam, that means every moment your attention falls on to that awareness, aham, every moment it becomes that, and that is what is called Krishna's grace. Often you will see people saying, oh, I didn't have Krishna's grace, they say. Sometimes they, when they get a lot of money, or they, when they come out of the sickness of the body, they say it was Krishna's grace. No, none of them is Krishna's grace. This is Krishna's grace. Because the very basic ajnanam in me of my identification with the body has gone. And I have come to the absolute truth, who I am, in my proper identity as the aham, awareness inside, which is again non-different from the Antaryami inside. And I have come to the complete understanding that what I thought foolishly, that it is my body, I realized it's not my body. The body, I thought, I am this body, I got out of that concept. And I used to think that it was my body. Now I realize that it is not my body. And I used to think that it was meant for my enjoyment. To enjoy this body is my life. This is what I was thinking, isn't it? That's what everybody is thinking in this world. To enjoy this body is my life. And I have now realized that that is not my enjoyment, enjoying this body. So these three things, when it happens, and when our identity has become completely with that awareness, aham, 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 every moment, if it has become like that, that is called Krishna's grace. That is Krishna's grace. There is no other grace higher than this. Because with that, everything comes to a stop. No birth, no death after that. No old age, no disease. You have come out of everything. After that, what happens between me and Krishna, or between you and Krishna? That is bhakti. That is what is bhakti means, parabhakti as he refers to. At that stage, that between Antaryami and this awareness, if they remain separate, and aham asmi, that awareness wants to experience that Antaryami, that is called bhakti. That's called bhakti. And that is where all the mellows comes. Shantam, dasyam, sakhyam, vatsalyam, madhuryam, and all that. All of that. Up to that point, we are all going in the same way. It is only after that that thing happens. If you want to go in any of those five different mellows. But important thing to remember is, this is the first biggest hurdle. Getting out of this body and come to the platform of awareness. If this hasn't happened, all our show in this world is all waste time. Nothing you will get from that. It just like so many things we did in life. We traveled a lot of places, saw so many places, met so many people, did so many things. Like that, this also will go through, flow through. It will all become a story of the past. But if this happens, that means if we lose this identity with the body and get the identity with awareness, realize that this body is not mine. I am actually, what I own is only this awareness. That's all what I have. That is always mine, not this body. I'm not this body, body is not mine. And finally, I had this misconception in my head that I came to this body to enjoy life. And now I realize that body is not meant for my enjoyment. Because real enjoyment is not through the body, rather through the awareness. So these three things, when that is firmly established inside us, then that is what Krishna is saying here is the most important thing in this 22nd chapter. That he mentions there, that program. Edha manoratha mayer anyam mayer anyasyocha vajastanu guna sangad ubadate kochil kaschil jahadija. Kochil kaschil jahadija. And this grace, Krishna's grace, very, very few people rarely gets it. That also Krishna's put it there. Kochil kaschil jahadija. He says they will get it there. And in different ways it is spoken. Drashtava, drishya dharmam does not affect the drashtava. All that is a part of that. Then Krishna is saying there that Almana Pidraputra Bhyam Anumeyo Bhavapeyo Na Bhavapeyo Vastunam Abhinye Advaya Lakshanaha. Advaya Lakshanaha. He says here that this process Krishna has spoken here, that this mind, intelligence, ego, all this has happened. Why did that happen? Why did I get my all this mind, body, intelligence and things like that? And different bodies. Krishna is saying there, ഗുണസംഗം. See that word, verse 48. ഏദാ മനോരഥമയിർ അന്യസ്യോച വചാസ്തനൂഹു ഗുണസംഗാൽ ഉപാദത്തെ കൊചിൽ കശ്ചിൽ ജഹാദിജ. ഗുണസംഗാൽ, കൃഷ്ണ is saying here. So, and also different identities also. I am this, I am that. That Krishna is saying here, give up all those identities. Give up all those identities. Are you not identifying with different people in your dream also? Are you not identifying in your dream also? And similarly, in the vacant state also, you are identifying with somebody. I am this, I am that. You are imagining like that. We imagine many times, isn't it? In the dream state, in the vacant state also. And some of them imagination about ourselves, we accept that in the vacant state. Some of them we reject in the vacant state. Just like we accept, I am a devotee. I am accepted like that, I am a devotee. You are also accepting, you are a devotee. Sometimes you accept, I am a Vaishnava, you are a Vaishnava, like this. Or these are all you are imagining and accepting that identity, isn't it? In life normally we do like that. Somebody who is a big position, he says, I'm a managing director or a chief executive. He is feeling all the time, I'm chief executive of a company, big company. Prime minister is identified, I'm a prime minister of the company, the country. The president and queen is thinking, I'm the queen of the country. King is thinking the same way. So everyone in every level is accepting some identity, is it not? He's accepting some identity. Krishna is saying, throw away all the identities. All this has no meaning. Because in dream state also you are accepting identities. Similarly, you are accepting some other identity now. That's all it is. So, similarly, some things you accept, some things you reject. That is what he is saying here. Almanaha pidraputrabhyam anumeyo bhavapyayo na bhavapaya vastuvinam abhiye advayalakshanaha. Advayalakshanaha. So, he says that you look at your father, he existed for some time with you and then he left. He left, isn't it? And you notice that, and therefore you can say, he says here, your body will also die. You can see that. Similarly, you can also see that your son is being born. Your son is being born. So, similarly, from that, you can take it that you are also going to take birth. When you see your father is dying, Krishna says, that can happen to you also. You will also die. When your son is taking birth, you can take it for granted that you are also going to take birth. From the father and the son, you have to learn this, Krishna says. Almana pidraputrabhyam anumeyo bhavapyayo na bhavapyayin vastunam abhinye advaya lakshanaha. Bhavapyaya vastunam abhinyam advaya lakshanaha. Alma bhavapyaya dharmaha na bhavadi. So, that this shariram or body, it has got a birth and a death. What you see, the changes that is happening in the body. But due to that, the person who is drashta, who is seeing all these things, you are seeing this death of the father's body. You are seeing the birth of your son. But who is seeing this? The person you. You are seeing this, isn't it? So, you can understand that similarly what has happened to your father can happen to you. What has happened to your son can happen to you, but at the same time happens to whom? That's the question, isn't it? That means, if you observe this carefully, he says, drishya dharmam will not affect the drashtava. That means, all this birth and death is happening in the body. It's not happening in the father, the death. And the birth is not happening in the son. It is all in the drishyam, this dharmam. Dharmam of the drishyam, that is. Death is the dharmam of the drishyam, which is father's body. Birth is the dharmam of the drishyam, which is the son's body. It's not happening in the father or in the son. Similarly, Krishna is saying here, Nabhavapya vastunam abhinye advayalakshanaha. Similarly, this your realization about that birth and death also, as far as your body is concerned, not in you. That is the logic Krishna is putting forward. Dushyadharmam will not affect the drashtava. Krishna says like that. And after that he says here, Jananam bhavam apayam. And garbha entering into the womb, and growth in the womb, and balyam, kaumaram, yavanam, vardhakyam, all these different changes in the body, birth, death, old age, and all those things, and finally death. All these things, nine changes, are all for the body. All for the body. So, if you misunderstand all of this, then you are bound. So bondage means this misunderstanding. That is called bondage. What is that? This misunderstanding that I am taking birth, I am growing up, I am old age, youth, I am old age, death, changes, all these things. And that, if you take that as yours, if you take all these as yours, it's called bondage. It's called bondage. But the moment you realize that it is not happening to you, but you are only a witness to all these things happening, then you are liberated. You are liberated. That is the way Krishna defines bondage and liberation. Bondage and liberation. Actually, you don't even have the witness position there. Because as soon as you accept the witness position, then duality has come there. Dvaitam has come there. So strictly speaking, Krishna doesn't even go into that direction. Dvaitam will come. Because in Sushupti state, there is no witness there, isn't it? That is the proof that Dvaitam is not acceptable. Because in Sushupti state, there is no Dvaitam is there. There's only experience. You are not there. You don't even have an identity in the Sushupti. But experience is there. It's a very interesting thing, isn't it? You are just experience you become. Just experience only, nothing else. Just experience only. So, that is the point Krishna has made here. Now, I think we will stop today and we will continue tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.